called Mustafa Mugisa, and I'm going to review my book, How to Get on the Board and Be a Fantastic Director. Now, in the How to Get on the Board book, you're going to find 7 tools of an effective member. This book is organized into 2 parts. The first part, this is one of the parts which I like most. It is about how to win a board appointment and the common board sins you must be aware of. Many people, they see others are on board. You visit a company and they tell you, I'm going to the boardroom, or these people on the board in a board retreat. And so they are wondering, how does somebody get on the board? Because we rarely, if at all, we never see an advertisement for somebody to be on a board. And yet when you go to all organizations, they have got board members. So people are always asking, how do I win a board appointment? How do people on the board get appointed? I don't want you to worry about this question anymore. I have taken time after working as a secretary, Institute of Corporate Governance, for over 8 years, and also after serving as a consultant, a trainer for so many boards, I can finally tell you that the secret of getting on the board is about networking and about knowing people who need board members. In this book, you'll find over 10 practical points on how you can get your CV outside there, how you can be in the right crowd, how you can get noticed, and how do you upgrade and improve on your promotion, personal branding to be noticed for a board appointment. And this requires effort. Every achievement, if you are not stealing, requires deliberate effort. Being discovered for a board appointment is one thing, but also, what do you do when you get on the board? Also, I have written about 7 sins many people innocently commit when they are on the boards and end up killing their career, but also making bad board members. That's why on the cover of the book, I have put an illustration of a big elephant standing on top of a man, but this man is comfortable. This means that it doesn't matter the kind of people on the board. If they know what they are doing, whether they are a 20 or a 5, no problem. The company will succeed because they are knowing the value they are on the board. And that's why you see this young man is strong and comfortable holding the board. Some organizations we have seen, you find they have around 13 board members, but the company has got around 8 staff. But nevertheless, the company succeeds because the board is an extension of the executive team by providing the right seeds and support to make sure that the organization grows other than coming to draw from it. The biggest challenge which we see is that many times when somebody gets on the board, if they don't know that they are supposed to add value, they are coming to ask for allowances, they are looking at getting benefits as if like the ones you get staff, and that becomes a cost. So I try to identify the 7 sins so that when you get to that board appointment, you are able to look out for these sins and avoid them. In part 2, and this is one of my favorite, I have dug down into the 7 tools of an effective board member and how to become really very fantastic. First is the tool 1 focuses on the context. You cannot improve that you do not know. And I always tell people, what makes a very good medical doctor? What makes a very good engineer? What makes a very good accountant? If you are going to transform anything, you must first understand the context, understand the organization. You are not going to be a good politician if you don't understand the communities in which you are representing. So if you are going to succeed as a board member, understand the organization very well. And once you gain that clarity and understanding, then you are able to see where they are now, where they should be given the resources, the environment in which they operate, and the industry, and the potential benefits, and the performance of the peers. And then you are able to see the gap you are going to close during your term. So finding context is akin as a doctor trying to diagnose a patient so that they can give the right prescription. Imagine entering into a hospital and then a doctor comes and then looks at you and says, oh, the way you are looking, I think you could be suffering from maybe malaria. And then they give you a prescription. I don't think you would take this kind of medicine. So I have written about 20 documents. Every new board member or existing board member, if you have never asked, you must ask and review so that you can start moving closer to being a very great board member, to understand the organization which you have been appointed to serve. Most of the time, board members are operating in darkness. They are making policies and decisions, and they don't understand the organization. So these 20 books, even if you don't pick anything from this book, they will empower you to be a better director. And then in tool 2, I have looked at a board scorecard. Many times I'm making presentations to the boards. You tell them about a board scorecard, they don't have a clear picture. You tell them, how do you see whether you are improving or not improving? How do you measure the value you add on the board? If you don't have a clear set of targets, which when you bring together become a scorecard, it is unlikely that you're going to add an impact on the boards. So if it is gross, which kind of gross do you want to see? If it is compliance, which kind of compliance do you want to see? If it is people turnover, what clear variables at strategic level as a board member? Are you going to be measuring and tracking to see whether you are growing or you are failing? So this tool of scorecard is intended to enable you as a board member to leave footprints or marks on boards you serve, other than just coming and you go and no impact made. So you are able to measure impact. And then three is the ideal structure. Many times, and this is what I have written in the book, you find that our government of Uganda develops strategy, 2040 vision, medium term three, but it is being implemented on a structure which was built in the 1960s or 1980s. So you cannot succeed if you try to fit the current strategy into the existing structure. It never works like that. So in this book, I give you as a board member, when you come and approve a strategy, then you must also identify the ideal structure to implement that strategy. That's what is called the effective leadership. Which kind of resources you're going to need, which kind of capabilities are you going to need, which kind of systems are you going to need, which kind of people are you going to need, and their skills mix, so that they are able to deliver the new choices you have made. And for me, I find this is one of the most important tools. If you are a consultant, it will save you a lot of money, because then you are able to think long term and create the right structures to grow. You will find the CEO scorecard. Like the board scorecard, you see, when the board gets a scorecard from the shareholders or the founders, then the board has to give it as a target, as an attachment to the job appointment letter of the CEO. Once the CEO gets this scorecard, then he has to cascade it to the directors and the other management team reporting to him or her. So that's how things work. Now, if the CEO does not understand clearly their scorecard, most of the time, you are a board member, all you find is the CEO has got a contract which is written in political statements to grow revenue, to recruit staff, to expand regionally. These kind of things make organizations become mediocres, because it is not providing clarity of specifics in terms of how growth will be measured. If you say to grow revenue from 100 million to 120 million within the next 1 year, that is clear, or within the next 3 years, that is clear. Whether they achieve it or not achieve it, you are able to see why, what happened. Why did they achieve the targets? Why did they not achieve the targets? So scorecard is a critical concept in this book, and I'm sure it will give you a lot of insights to learn. Then most importantly, in tool number 5, you'll find the board's risk appetite. Of course, I'm not meaning food or tea, which as I read this book, which I'm taking. Risk appetite, I'm looking at the amount of risk which the board is willing to accept or not. Risk is the impact of uncertainty on organization's objectives. So when something happens which is bad, unexpected, it is a risk. So because some of this risk comes with bad things, you could lose money or life. So risk appetite is defining how much money you are willing to lose in case of an event which is bad happen. So for many organizations, they will say our risk appetite is zero when it comes to reputation, because you are not allowing anything which will injure or affect your reputation. I have clearly articulated this because during board trainings, we find that boards take time to understand some of this, and many of them do not understand it, yet it is very critical because it provides you the speed limit within which the business should be running. And the tool number 6, you will find micromonitoring, the tools you need as a board member to make sure that you are in charge. Imagine you are appointed as a board member, then you have to supervise this executive, but the executive do not give you any information until you meet at the next quarterly meeting. And most of the time, you will find that many things are hidden down there. So as a board member, what are those finer details you must ask from the executive? If the executive is not willing to give it to you, what kind of investments in technology can you do to make sure that you can be able to gain visibility to the organization without interfering and micromanaging? So the concept of micromonitoring is one of the new leadership, modern 21st century concept, and I'm inviting you to get into this book and learn. And finally, I've looked at Tool 7, the quality board packs. Managing board processes is very important. So this section is very important for the company secretary, board chairman, or any board member wishing to become to sit on the board, because it gives you the quality of board. I have put a lot of tools and templates on the website. You'll find it when you go to www.mustafamuksa.com/7board tools. You'll find the free templates which are editable, download. Tool templates in terms of agenda, templates in terms of board and new work plan, templates in terms of sample board papers for decision, for information, and all these kind of things, and how to, most importantly, try to very good minutes and the matters arising from the board and board resolutions. This is a worth a lot of resources if for anybody who knows how to use them. And finally, I end with, why do we need corporate governance? Because we know the bottleneck is always at the top of the bottom. I have taken a lot of my time to write this book, and I hope you'll enjoy it. Thank you very much.